So how can we unify around Jesus when we don't agree about Donald Trump?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. What a day we are living in. What a time to be alive. What a time to make a difference. If you, like me, believe that God is central in your life, Jesus first, then by all means, this is our hour to shine. This is our hour to stand and make a difference in America, a nation that is confused, suffering all kinds of upheaval, and does not know which way to go. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And I'm going to ask you to call in today. If you are an evangelical Christian, or you consider yourself a Christian conservative, and you believe it is imperative that we vote for Donald Trump to be president, I want you to call and make your case. Succinctly, clearly, why you believe it is important that we as evangelical followers of Jesus or as Christian conservatives, why we vote for Donald Trump to be president. Conversely, if you think it is a bad move for evangelicals, if you think it is damaging, destructive for us to vote for him, I want you to call and make your case. My goal today is not ultimately to argue a political position. You know, I voted for Trump in 2016 after opposing him in the primaries, and I plan to vote for him in 2020 if it's Trump versus Joe Biden. However, as things work out, that is not my biggest issue. Who's president is important, but there are bigger issues to me in terms of the well-being of America and the destiny of America. And one of the biggest issues is the state of the church, the state of the people of God. How are we living in the midst of this society? And how are we treating one another and treating those around us? Because long term, that's going to have an even greater effect than who is or is not elected. 866-34-TRUTH. Those watching for the first time on America's Voice, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. Okay, my book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test, is out now. You can order it at Amazon, any of the normal places you order online. Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? And the opening chapter is called The Enigma of Donald Trump and the Quandary of Evangelicals. Because once again, as we all know, if evangelical Christians were picking a poster boy candidate to be pro-life and pro-family and pro-Israel and pro-religious liberty and pro-all those things, if they were picking that person would not look like Donald Trump. The question is, was he God's choice in a strange way to fight for all those causes? Or is the collateral damage that he's brought about and the collateral damage of our association with him, does that outweigh the good? And this is the great question, the great debate. Now, it's interesting, as my book is just out, I'm doing a lot of radio interviews on different stations and Skype, Zoom interviews, different things. And it's really interesting because most of the shows I'm on reflect my own views and would be similar to many of your views as listeners and viewers. But then I'll be on some that are really, I mean, radically conservative and super, super pro-Trump, and others that are radically liberal and super, super anti-Trump, and I'll begin to talk, and it's like I'm speaking a different language to some of them. I thought, isn't this absolutely fascinating? But we're going to communicate with each other so we can better understand our positions. Listen, if at the end of the day we still have a difference of opinion, the question is, as followers of Jesus, can we love each other? Can we walk with integrity towards each other? Or are we going to make a vote for president one way or the other, the dividing line? That's it. I break fellowship with you over this. Is that what it's going to come to? So I have this dialogue in the first chapter of my book, and I'm going to go back and forth, a Trump supporter versus a Trump non-supporter, but both come from the perspective of being evangelicals, all right? 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. So here's a Trump supporter, all right? Here's evangelical Trump supporter. So he's rough around the edges. He offends people. He exaggerates. Sometimes he even lies. What politician doesn't lie? But he's a fighter. He's fearless. He's pushing back against forces that want to destroy our nation. In fact, he's done more for evangelical causes in just a few years than other presidents did in two full terms. I'll vote for Trump any day of the week. Many of you are nodding your heads. Yeah, that's me. That speaks for me. Then an evangelical opponent of Trump says this. Yeah, he's done a lot of good, but at what cost? Forget about his past immorality and godlessness. That's not the issue. The man's dangerous. He's dragged down the office of the president. He's been abusive and divisive. He's brought out the worst in us as a people. And to the extent we make excuses for his behavior, we bring reproach on the gospel. Now you say, who are you quoting here? These are words that I am putting in the mouths of Trump supporters and Trump opponents, both of whom are professing followers of Jesus and conservative in their biblical and social views. So these are condensations of arguments that I've heard, listened to, interacted with for a few years now, and I'm boiling down, putting them out like this in the first chapter of Evangelicals at the Crossroads. Okay, so the Trump supporter responds with this. He's the most effective pro-life president since the Roe v. Wade decision. He's a champion of religious liberties. He's pushing back against aggressive LGBT activism. He's the best friend Israel ever had. Who cares about some nasty tweets? You're missing the forest for the trees. The opponent then says, yes, those are all good things, very good things. And I don't minimize them. But words have the power of life and death as well. And his words have degraded us nationally. His words have opened a flood tide of hatred, of ugliness, of division. And it's outrageous for the president of the United States, the most powerful man on the planet, to use his office to disgrace and attack and malign and belittle others. When we stand with him, we degrade ourselves too. Then the response, well, what do we do? Set out the 2020 election? Cast a meaningless protest vote? Just do nothing and let a radical liberal become president? Not a chance. Trump is the man for me. Then the response, I'd rather stand on principle than compromise my convictions for the sake of political expediency. And in the end, what have we gained if the laws are changed and the courts are changed, but hearts are hardened to the gospel? Maybe we would do better if a radical liberal was elected. Maybe then we wake up as a church and stop putting our trust in the government and the White House. And the response, oh, that's a great idea. It kind of like not treating cancer so we can see God perform a miracle. Not on my watch. So that's some of the give and take, the back and forth. One saying, look at all the good he's done. The other saying, look at the damage he's done. The other saying, look at the good he's done for the Christian cause. The other, look at the damage he's done for the Christian cause. And I speak to people on both sides who are absolutely passionate. All right, now, let's hear from a couple of black leaders, not even coming specifically from a Christian viewpoint, but larger sociological viewpoint. The first, Thomas Sowell, one of the most respected economists in the nation, himself black, 90 years old. This is what he said in an interview this weekend. If the election goes to Biden, there's a good chance that the Democrats will control Congress, and considering the kinds of things that they're proposing, that could well be the point of no return for this country. So Thomas Sowell is saying that the vote is that consequential, that there are things that could be instituted in the way of socialism and other radical causes that are so detrimental to the overall well-being of our nation and so contrary to who we've been, that we'd not recover from that. And remember, there's no guarantee that America is always going to be a strong, prosperous nation or a free nation or a superpower or even together. There's no guarantee. Show me where that's guaranteed. Show me where that's written in ink by God telling us the future. I just read a commentary from an Orthodox Jewish rabbi from an Orthodox Jewish perspective saying, I never thought I'd see America go the way it's going, but it may go the way other nations and empires have gone in terms of a collapse. It's possible, certainly possible. Could it be that a vote for Trump is another last gas stop from that happening until Americans come to their senses and start to go in the right direction? Could that be another wedge in the door before it slams? There's a black historian, Jamar Tisby, And speaking of black Christians, he says this: some black Christians have laid down a marker saying that if white Christians vote for Trump in large numbers again, racial relations in this country may be irreparably harmed. If they've made all of these gestures in the wake of George Floyd's murder only to go back to voting for a man who embodies racial bigotry, it will do more damage than if they had just remained silent. So here's another black voice, Dristor Tomasoa, and he's saying the exact opposite in terms of the damage that will be done. And if you're voting for Trump, a white person voting for Trump, then you are voting for racial bigotry. And black Christians won't forgive that. They'll just leave those churches and they'll look at white Christians differently. And then others, like former NFL player was Jack Brewer, he's talking about how he threw himself in totally, again, another black American, he threw himself in totally in support of Barack Obama and then was very disappointed in his policies and the way they worked out and felt it ended up being more divisive. He's now a strong supporter of Trump and says, look at what he's done. I mean, prison reform has helped so many black Americans. And standing with historic black colleges has done so much good. I mean, major things that the president's done. And helping unemployment in the black community and other things that are positive. And he's saying, hey, I'm all in for Trump. You see how divisive the issues can be. Here, Shane Claiborne tweets this. Yes, Shane is more on the left-wing evangelical side. He said, I love Jesus, and it is precisely my love for Jesus that creates my outrage at Trump. When I look at the things Jesus said and compare them to the things Trump says, it's impossible to reconcile the two. I don't know how any Christian can defend Trump. And then Pastor Robert Jeffress, megachurch pastor to the right as an evangelical Christian, during the primaries and then leading up to the elections, this is what Robert Jeffress said. And it's a headline of the Christian Post from a few years back. Christians not voting for Donald Trump if he's the nominee are foolish and prideful. So, I mean, you've got these voices on exact other sides of the fence. How do we work this out? And how do we determine to walk in unity in the Lord and seek to do good for the country however we can if we don't agree on a vote for Donald Trump? And by the way, that's why I wrote the book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, to help us sort this out. We'll be right back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen, let me lay it out. The reason I'm introduced every day on the air is your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution is because that's what the nation needs. And that's what I'm here to help spark, not with hatred, not with anger, not with violence, God forbid, but with gospel principles. That's the best way to change the nation. So yes, we vote. Yes, we get involved in other ways. But ultimately, by changing hearts and lives, by changing the direction in which people are going, that's how lasting change will come. 866-34-TRUTH. Going to go to the phones in a moment. I want you to call in and make your best case as a Christian conservative for or against voting for Donald Trump. All right? I want you to make your best case for that. When Mark Galley, senior editor of Christianity Today, published an editorial that's got more attention than anything they'd ever done in the history of the magazine, a colleague of Mark Galley told me that he heard directly from Mark Galley. Mark Galley, during the impeachment hearing, said Trump should be removed, Trump should step down. And Christianity Today, being a leading, well-known evangelical publication, this was a watershed moment. There were massive responses, overwhelmingly against Galley. And while I personally appreciated that he wrote it and articulated some of the anti-Trump sentiments among evangelicals, I really disagreed with his reasoning and felt it fell short. One of the most discussed articles that pushed back against Mark Galley was written by Wayne Grudem, Professor Wayne Grudem. And he wrote a response: Trump should not be removed from office, a response to Mark Galley in Christianity Today. And in the midst of it, he listed 20, it was actually 19 items that showed the accomplishments of Trump and said, okay, here are the negative tweets, here's the nasty, here's the bad stuff, but here's all that he accomplished. So let's look at that and let's weigh it out accordingly. In other words, if you say, hey, he's fighting for the life of the unborn, you think an unborn baby really cares if Trump is nasty in his tweets or if he lied about something, if he saved that baby's life, or if he's pushing back against the tyranny of China, you think oppressed people in China are saying, yeah, but, you know, he's nasty, so we'd rather that someone was not fighting for us. Probably not. On the other hand, for us as evangelicals, if we're associated with him, then his mistakes become ours. Can we say, yeah, he gets my vote, but not my soul? He's my president, but not my savior. Can we say that? That the most important thing in the world is not the elections. There are other things more important. The elections are important, but let's put them in the proper context. So flip side, opposite perspective in terms of the reproach and damage that Trump has brought comes from the LA Times. And I'm just looking at an editorial that says that Trump's presidency is a train wreck. Let us count the ways. And they start going through arguments, looking down the page. Trump has caused thousands of children to be interned in inhumane conditions, often for months, resulting in deaths, injuries, traumatic separations from family, without access to even rudimentary schooling. He's insulted and alienated the nation's friends and allies, rendering the democratic world leaderless. He's flirted with repudiating NATO. Skip down. He's cozied up to right-wing nationalist dictators and autocrats. Scroll down. He's rejected the honorable American presidential tradition of seeking unity. Oh, yeah, all the presidents before him sought unity. Right. Sorry. He's transformed the White House, which would promote policies based on reality, into a world capital of ignorance, dishonesty, misinformation, and on it goes. Okay. Now, some of you who are Trump supporters say, that's all bogus. That's just left. That's fake news. There's an answer to it. I'm just laying out the polarization that's there. And maybe the strongest example is this. So the Christian Post, I've written probably over 1,000 op-ed pieces in the Christian Post, among other places. The Christian Post put out an editorial, February 2016, Donald Trump is a scam. Evangelical voters should back away. This is 2016. He's a scam. They should back away. One of the men involved in that editorial was Nat Nasworth, who's both a PhD in history, something like that, and was one of the senior editors at Christian Post. Often interacted with him and things we were working on, etc. Then when Mark Galley wrote his article, and his article was bashing the president, why should he be removed, Christian Post wrote a response. And this was two of the senior editors, John Grano and Richard Land, Christianity Today, and the problem with Christian elitism. And they basically said the op-ed is off. The op-ed is based on a Christian elitism that's not really in touch with the rest of the population, kind of like a beltway Christianity, you could say. And here's why we should stand with Trump. Nasworth was so grieved over that he resigned. All right? And has since contributed to a book speaking of the spiritual danger of Donald Trump as an evangelical. Now, again, depending who you are, you're outraged at one side of what I presented in total agreement with the other side. All right? I understand that. But this is the reality. These are the divisions within the body right now, not just within the nation. We understand the left and the right and the Democrat and Republican. And we understand those divisions. But these are divisions within the body among evangelicals of multiple colors, races. Can we sort this out? I say we have to. I said we have to sort it out. Now, I want to get into a bunch more important issues with you today, but I've laid this foundation, covered all this material. Let's go to the phones now, and we'll start in Des Moines, Iowa. Shane, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I'd like to make my case that Donald Trump is the greatest president we've ever had as Christians. Number one, we look at how he has stood up for our constitutional freedoms, especially religious liberty, for the lives of the unborn, how he has promoted the free enterprise system that gave us the best economy in history, how he has resisted socialism, which is now Marxism, on the left. And finally, the biggest, Dr. Brown, the greatest supporter of Israel that has ever we've ever had as president. He is a chosen man for this time. Having said all that, I do not consider Donald Trump a true born-again Christian. And I think it's very important that we decipher that. One thing is our leader. Another thing is who we identify with as a true Christian brother. And I'd like to make one more point, Dr. Brown. I have noticed, and I'm a pastor myself of a church of Hispanic people, and it's interesting to note that if you interview Christians, if they support Donald Trump or not, what you will find, Christians that believe the Bible, that believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, will almost, I don't know if I'd say 100%, but probably 99.something% support Donald Trump. The quote-unquote Christians that are against him, if you really look into their life, their belief system, they do not believe in biblical inerrancy. They want to create a Christianity according to their own lifestyle. And I would challenge you to do a survey on that. And that's all I've got to say. I really appreciate you. I follow you, and may God continue to bless your ministry.
All right. Thank you, Shane, for weighing in. And friends, what I'm going to do is just let you weigh in. And unless I have a question I have to ask, I'm just going to let you weigh in and not respond either way. And please, please, if you are on the other side, if you do not believe we should vote for Trump, please call in, raise your voice as well. Let's go to Bob in Mount Airy, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I have a thought experiment that I'll try to describe as briefly as I can.
Yeah.
Imagine that you are a Christian in the first century, and by some strange turn of events, the Senate, Roman Senate, invites you to join a committee to pick the next emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And you have two choices. Caligula, who is a good administrator, favors the rule of law, and is a known womanizer. And then you have Nero, who distributes bread to the people and circuses and wraps Christian children in fur and puts them in the arena for the animals. Can you imagine looking at those two choices and saying, Jesus told us to care for the poor, so I'm going to have to go with Nero? Or, you didn't seek this. It's presented to you, you didn't seek involvement in politics. It's presented to you as a civic duty.
Yep.
You don't look at that and say, which one of these is the closest to a model believer? You look at their policies and the Word of God. And, if you go through that thought experiment for a minute, and I realize there's a hyperbole in it, but it has to be in order to be a useful example.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you could expand on there.
Right. So Bob, just to add my comment, since you're putting this out as a thought experiment, I appreciate it, and I like the thought behind it. So on the one hand, obviously, every Christian casting a vote can find something biblical that they say we're voting for. You know, this party's strong on pro-life, well, we think this party's stronger in caring for the poor, and you could make your arguments accordingly. But ultimately, yeah. if we are going to vote, unless it's just a principle matter for us and we're going to say, well, I'm just casting a vote as a protest vote or sitting this out, we're ultimately making a binary choice between two large parties, leaders, directions, and saying, hey, since I get to vote, since I get to be part of the process, which way do I feel is the better way to go? What happens is the way the media pushes things and the way we can often do it, it becomes this black and white. You're either voting for good or for evil. As long as you're voting for a human being, it's never a perfect vote. There has never been a candidate, unless Jesus himself was leading, all right? And he will. He will come and set up his kingdom when he returns. But other than that, we're choosing between imperfect candidates and an imperfect system. So, yeah, I'd love to have someone with great moral integrity and honesty and felicity to his wife and many, many other characteristics, as well as strong in A, B, C, D. But I may not get my ideal. The question is, how close can we come? How do we vote? These are choices that we make. But hopefully, we can better understand how we can come to different conclusions and still walk together in Jesus, because the world needs us. The world that hates the church is the world that needs the church. All right, right back with your calls. 866-34-TRUTH.
rising flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what shows greater moral character? If you make a promise and you keep it, or if you are nasty and mean-spirited to people? Which is, obviously, one's a good quality, there's a bad quality. If you were making a character judgment on someone, what would be more important to you if you had to choose between the two? And I raise that because some have pointed out, hey, you attacked Donald Trump's character for his obvious failings and shortcomings and lies, exaggerations, nastiness. On the flip side, he's kept his word and stood up against incredible opposition. Isn't that another aspect of character? And my summary answer is yes. Those are both character issues. The negative ones hurt, the positive ones help. And that's why that's the whole package we get with good and with bad. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown. You have tuned in to The Line of Fire. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. All of our new podcast listeners, welcome to the broadcast. Those watching for the first time on America's Voice, welcome to the broadcast. Those on Facebook, I'm going to look at some of your comments. I've asked you to weigh in with your views on for or against Trump as Christian conservatives. If you're watching on Facebook, stand with us by clicking on the donate sign that goes straight into our account to help us put out more cutting-edge broadcasts, or on our YouTube channel, right beneath the chat box is a dollar sign. Click on that. Every contribution of every size makes a difference. So thanks for standing with us. I'm looking at some of the comments on Facebook. Cindy, voting for President Trump, he's been a man of his word. I'm thankful he stayed the course. Timothy, Trump spends like a liberal, enough said. Janice, Trump is the only president that cares about this country. Mike, Trump is the lesser of evils again this time, so he'll have my vote. Voting for Trump is he's pro-life. I vote for pro-life candidates. Biden's not electable, etc. I've seen others say Trump has so hurt the evangelical cause. Yes, he's appointed certain justices, but Gorsuch has already disappointed us in a major ruling, and who knows what to expect next. So what's the use of it? Have we sold our soul for a seat at the power table? These are the arguments. And again, for me, friends, here's what I want to proclaim to the whole world. Jesus is my Savior. Trump is not my Savior. Jesus is my all in all. Trump is not my all in all. Jesus is my hope, my life, my affections, my desires. I belong to Him. I want to please God. That's why I'm here. Donald Trump, as a candidate versus Hillary Clinton, or a candidate versus Joe Biden, I prefer him and his policies to the other. It's to me, it boils down, and it's that simple. You say it hurts your witness. Only if I let it hurt my witness. In other words, if you say, I don't like when Trump does this, yeah, I don't like that either. I agree with you. Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, it bothers me. Why'd you vote for him? Because it was this or this. Again, my dog catcher analogy, if you've never heard it. You've got Rottweilers with rabies running wild in your neighborhood, and they're biting children in the playgrounds. Children getting infected and could die. But you don't have a dog catcher in your community. It's a little community. You don't have a dog catcher. Well, two people say, hey, I'd like to run for dog catcher. One of them, the nicest guy in the world. I mean, everybody likes him. Never once heard him use profanity. Not once. Never. His family says never spoken a cross word to us. He's amazing. He's a wonderful man. And everybody likes him. It's no scandals, no tax corruption or sexual issues or anything. But the guy could not catch a single dog if you gave him a nuclear bomb. He couldn't do it. if you gave him 1,000 nets and contraptions, and he couldn't catch a single dog. The other candidate is nasty, mean. All three of his wives divorced him and hate him. His kids don't talk to him. And he's known to be a loudmouth and give you peace of his mind even when you don't want to hear it, and with a lot of profanity. But this guy will catch a dog with his bare hands, and within a day, we'll have the whole problem cleaned up. Who do you vote for as the dog catcher? You vote for the second guy because you care about the kids. But you say, hey, I don't like this. It's not according to my values or my convictions. But as for a dog catcher, this is what I prefer. That's the choice we make. Now, here's the challenge. For years, evangelicals have said character counts, morality matters. We're the character people. We're the one, you know, Bill Clinton, bad, evil Bill Clinton. You know, and this one's a liar, and this one we can't. We want someone with integrity. And ultimately, we do want someone with integrity. But again, when it comes to making a binary choice, unless I'm not convinced the person I'm voting for will do the things I've asked him to do or asked her to do, which case I won't vote at all right, just vote for the lower offices, then it still comes down to that simple binary choice. And that's the question. But I respect people having different views. I just want you to articulate them, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Big Mo in Raleigh. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir, Dr. Barr. I really appreciate your ministry. And you did such an excellent job of doing point, counterpoint. I wish I was recording that before I get to my point. I wish I was recording that because you just laid it out the way it really is. Now, is there a place you can capture that again? Do you rebroadcast anything?
Yeah. Number one, everything is immediately archived on YouTube and Ask Dr. Brown. So it's our Ask Dr. Brown channel. But Big Mo, I want to do one better. When we're done,
sure.
I want you to stay on the line for a moment. Howard will get your info, and I want to send you a free copy of my new book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, because I took that straight from the first chapter of my book. How's that?
That's great. Thank you so much.
You bet. My joy to do it. I want to give away a book today, and you got it. Yeah, so go ahead, sir. Your own view.
All right. Yes. I'm an evangelical, and you ask a real good question. Now, I'm going to go to the bottom line. I can't vote for Trump, and a lot of it you laid out when you did counterpoint. We all know about the nastiness, the lawsuits, had 3,000 when he came in. Character really, really counts. Now, let me tell you why I really, now on character, now let me go first with this. Character counts. Our problem is he has very little. Now, in the process of getting what we want, he has done a good job of getting some of those things we want. It's like the guy who's reaching for the cheese, the mouse, and he gets it a few times, then bam, he gets it. Now, I believe, we got a record on him now, he's going to destroy this country. Now, and why do I say that? He doesn't respect the military. He goes with Putin on just about everything where our intelligence goes the opposite way. He destroys people who are doing their job because they don't agree with him. And that's, the Bible is really, really against that. And Isaiah 5:20, warn to those who call good evil and evil good. And I think we're in that position now. And here's the problem on the witness. And I mean, he's put us in a position of calling good evil and evil good. Mm-hmm. The problem is the world just sees that all evangelicals are for Trump. And we don't have the chance to explain and yell out loud. Now, it's obligation. Our obligation is to yell, scream, I'm voting for him, but you scream it. But the world doesn't see that. You only got a handful of people in terms of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They say, how can they be for a man like this? You know, me personally, I don't let my grandchildren listen to him because I don't know when some vile languages that I'm trying to teach them not to pick up in school comes out of his mouth. I think we're on the way to destruction. I'll take Biden because we need stability right now. He seems even more closer, except on some positions I don't agree with him on, closer to being a true Christian than our president right now. So I think we're on the way to destruction, our judgment, our justice systems. Everything he touches, he corrupts. And if you don't agree, you're gone. His best friend, his first supporter, Sessions, as soon as he turned on him, as soon as he said, I don't agree with it, out you go. And he destroys the check and balance systems with the inspector generals. He's fired four in the last, all because they're investigating him or they disagree with him. So all the other things I agree with, but he's on the way to destroying the very foundations. And as we go for pro-life, here you're going to get it. I'd rather go for saving the country right now and live to fight another day all those issues that are important, because we won't have them. This guy, the last thing I want to say, he's shown a true dictator who has really evil intentions of destroying the United States, how it can be done. He's only selfish. He's doing everything you see that he does. If you check it, it's for his benefit so he can get elected. He's now shown a true dictator how you can get into the United States and destroy it from the inside. And I don't like him inviting countries like Russia, China, and all to get involved in our elections. You can't do that. He's not defending us. He's not defending those guys who Putin put out, is giving money to shoot U.S. troops. You got to come out strong. He hasn't said anything about that hardly at all. So those are my reasons. I'm going Biden. Might not be the best choice, but he's the best choice right now to save this country. We'll have to fight those other issues because we need our foundation to be able to fight. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for weighing in. Big Mo, stay right there. Howard's going to get your info so I can send you the book. And in keeping with what I'm doing, I'm not pushing back either way, regardless of which side you're taking when you call in, unless I have a clarifying question. All right. So you heard from Big Mo. Others obviously want to speak and get your viewpoint across. Let's go over to Justin in Grayson, Georgia. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. My question, I'm just asking for some wisdom about the situation that I'm in right now.
All right, hey, hang on. Hang on. I'm really sorry. I thought this was directly related to how to vote. So stay right there. I'm going to do my best to get back to you. Otherwise, if you can call later in the week, that would be great. I saw a question relating to a biblical text about believers being unequally yoked together with unbelievers and assumed that it was about how do we vote and get involved in the political process. All right, listen, I want to hear from a few more of you on the other side of the break. So stay right here, 866-34-TRUTH. But this is, friends, the reason we do live talk radio is because it is really important to get exposed to one another's views out of the horse's mouth, regardless of what the positions are, and both based on passionate Christian convictions. So some of you are listening to one call and pulling your hair out, cheering the next one on, and then the next one you're pulling your hair out, cheering the other caller on. Can we sit in the same room, have a conversation like this, and get on our knees and pray together and go into the neighborhood and share our faith? Couldn't we? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You see, friends, we tend to be in our own worlds and in our own echo chambers. And we listen to things that reinforce what we believe. We read things that reinforce what we believe. We only interact with those who differ kind of from a distance and always in caricatured ways. And because of that, we don't have real useful conversations. And that's what we're seeking to cultivate here, because this is the reality on the ground. And as God looks down at his people on the earth, this is the reality in his family. And then you have leaders, spiritual leaders, intellectual leaders, political leaders, doing their analysis and saying the only way to save the country is to vote for Trump. Vote for Biden will destroy the country. We just heard someone saying, vote for Trump, you destroy the country. Vote for Biden, save the country. And people of good faith on each side are saying, what? What? Again, I've made clear I voted for Trump in 2016 and plan to vote in 2020. But I am 100%, 1 million percent, 1 gazillion percent not putting my trust in the White House or the president or the political system, Congress or the Supreme Court. I'm putting my trust in the Lord and telling everyone I know that's a believer, this is an urgent time. We need to get on our faces and pray and repent of our own sins and make a difference in the communities where we live. Otherwise, America, if the church doesn't wake up, If we don't see awakening in America, no matter who's elected next, we're in for big trouble. How do you like that? That's what I believe. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Sarah in Iowa. Welcome to the Line of Fire. What are your thoughts, Sarah?
Yeah, hi. First of all, thank you for taking my call. I'm really grateful to talk to you. I listen to you often. I'm a little nervous, actually, because you're so admirable, and I just appreciate you so much in your ministry. I just want to give you praise for that. First of all, I'm very nervous.
It's just us, just the two of us talking, having a casual chat. So what are your thoughts? Who are you voting for and why?
Great. Oh, okay. Well, great. Well, I did vote for Trump as well. And first of all, in a perfect world, I'd vote for you if you ran. That said, I am a Republican. I would not vote for Joe Biden. I don't trust in his ideals and his thought process. And I do think that we need Trump to kind of, we're against an unimpressive world here. Are we really running a godly nation? Sorry, people, this isn't personal. This is a business thing. And, you know, he had to bully up to this. And unfortunately, you know, it wrinkled our clothes a little bit. Well, it's uncomfortable, but we need somebody that's like what Kim the prophet had said. We need somebody hot-blooded. You know, the Lord appointed somebody to be hot-blooded that was, you know, maybe goes against the grain a little bit, but maybe that's what we needed. And thank you for allowing us to have these different views and be accepting of them and you know, not just be okay with it. I just think that's fantastic. And I'm not a big political person, but I felt compelled to call because you allowed me to just tell you what I feel. And first of all, I got to pray about this. You know, I need the Lord. I got to get down on my knees and just say, hey, he knows who's going to run this country. He knows best. Is there really anything we're going to solve at a round table at the end of the day? Is there anything? We already know. The Lord tells us. There's going to be wars. It's not going to be pretty ending here. So, yes, we want what's best for our nation. We know we have to put the trust in the Lord for that to happen. And, you know, yeah, no, would I want to hang out with Trump? I don't think his tongue is very Christian-like, and that bothers me personally. But that said, this is business. And I don't know. I think that we just need somebody that's going to be, you know, stone-headed and get things done. So that's all I have.
Young, thank you, Sarah. Hey, and let me just say this. You don't want to vote for me as president. America does not need me as president or in political office. Vote for me as a radio host by listening and watching and telling a friend or supporting the broadcast. Vote for me as an author by buying and reading my books. But no, America does not need President Michael Brown. I can assure you of that. And Nancy would, precious bride, would give a shoutingly loud amen to that. A question to ask is, say, Planned Parenthood. Who do they want elected? The abortion giant. Or tyrannical China. Who do they want elected? Or the Islamic Republic of Iran. Who do they want elected? Or the radical Marxist movements in America. Who do they want elected? See, this is ultimately where I come down in terms of voting, making these decisions. All right, let's go over to Charlotte, North Carolina. Brian, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Very well. Thank you, sir.
Let me just say first, President Michael Brown kind of has a good ring to it.
we'll kill that quick, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm a little torn. I'm going to be honest with you. Leading up to now, up until this year, I was all, you know, as an African-American and a Christian, I was like, you know what, this time, looking at how President Trump has stood up for so many things from Christian belief, I was gung-ho. I was like, you know what, that's where I got to go. That's the direction I will go. But leading up this year to how he has faced the adversity, when the nation is seemingly being divided, it has kind of tainted that for me personally. And it's just his words and how he shoots from the hip. I get it. Sometimes it's needed. But in other times, it gets really, really, like, divisive. And then not all supporters, because like I said, up until now, I was even saying that, you know, this year, that's where I'm going. But when I'm talking to some supporters like this weekend, I had a discussion and just, you know, just discussion. I put up a post and a supporter went in all in, and I wasn't even, I'm not Black Lives Matter. I believe Black Lives Matter, you know, it's two different things. I won't get into that right now, but
yeah, I'm with you on that.
When it gets to the point, when I'm just stating the point, then it was just like the two people who were supporting of them went exactly how I've seen and heard President Trump act and carry himself in the media and things of that nature to a page when we're supposed to all be Christians. You don't have to shoot and say the names and try and like bring down, but that divisiveness has really tainted it for me. And it hurts because as a Christian, you want to vote for what the Christian beliefs are. And I will say, you know, he did a lot more than I thought he could do.
Yeah.
Coming in. But it hurts me to say that this one, I really don't know if I'm going to vote more than to pray for who God puts in there. And that's a tough choice for me to say. And I know, and I kind of hate that because it's whoever gets, I really have no say. So,
yeah. And you know, Brian, I'm in the same state as you are. You know, we live not that far from Charlotte. So, in point of fact, North Carolina could potentially be a close vote. You know, if you live in California, you might think, what's the use of voting? It's going to go one way clearly, or some other states you might feel the other way. But it's obviously something you need to continue to prayerfully process. You know, ask yourself a vote the other way. Where would that bring things? You know what I found, though, the most regrettable, to be honest, and it's one of the chapters in my new book. The third chapter is called Have We Failed the Love Test? And the answer is yes, glaringly. And what really distresses me is I have seen the never Trumpers attack the always Trumpers, right? And they're attacking the always Trumpers. You know, you're nasty, you're this, you're mature, you lie, you exaggerate, and they do the exact same things. It's like and that's what bothers me the most, that we can't say, okay, look, these are big issues. And the direction of America is a big issue. But ultimately, as followers of Jesus, let's not kill each other in the process. Let's not savage each other in the process. You know, when Big Mo called in and then shared, I didn't know which direction he was going to go, said, hey, I'm glad to send you a copy of the book, et cetera. And then he weighed in the way he did. I could sit down with him and have a meal and pray together and talk about the Lord. In other words, he's expressed himself. I'd interact. I'd push back on some points, get his perspective, etc. But it's not going to get in the way of our fellowship. And it's not to say that we don't have opinions or viewpoints or convictions, but it's to say that we don't become the thing that we hate. You know, and as I see, for example, making the same distinction you do, and my simple way of saying it is Black lives do matter, but I differ with the BLM organization. So when you see the hatred that gets generated, it's like racism is not going to drive out racism. You know, the old Dr. King quote, that darkness can't drive out darkness. So in all this, we need to step higher. And it's great that Brian's the last call because he's stuck in between and trying to get wisdom. So Brian, weigh the big issues and think things through and then come to your conclusion. Tell you what, let's give away one more book. Howard, grab Brian's mailing address if you can, Howard. Let's grab that. I want to send you a copy of Evangelicals at the Crossroads. Friends, if you haven't ordered the book yet, you can do so on Amazon or on our website, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? I think you'll find it really, really helpful when we lay out all the arguments both ways and then say, here's how we can vote, but more importantly, here's how we should live. Back with you tomorrow. Shake the